Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to The Soul Connection on Blog Talk Radio. It's spirituality simplified, conversations on conscious living, featuring your hosts, Bettina Goodwin and Eric Cerrone.
Hello, everybody. Hello. How are you, Bettina?
Hello, everyone. Hi, Eric. I'm doing great. And by the way, that wasn't very fair, saying something hysterically funny 5 seconds before showtime.
I don't really want to say I'm sorry, because I did get a little bit of pleasure out of you giggling as the intro started. Well, you know, it maybe brings up an interesting thing for the show in a way. I mean, we were having a deeper discussion off air about how Bettina sings in a choir, and actually, I've seen some of your rehearsals on Facebook and so on, and you know, they're definitely pretty good. And it's a big choir too. And after the show today, I'll be going downtown to our city hall to light the Christmas tree of the season.
Down in Town Square in Oakville. So.
Yeah. I mean, and just for anybody who's listening to this on the archive, it's November 20th as we do the show, a full I don't know what's that, five and a half weeks before Christmas, and it's kind of interesting. We've got some radio stations that are already starting to play Christmas music, and it seems like the season gets longer every year. And we were kind of lamenting the fact that it might be some of it might be in order to get people in the mood of spending money, and you know, it's important to remember that Jesus is about to be born. And it's time to let your wallets. And that was kind of the gist the time before, which is pretty much just what, you know, that's pretty much why God sent his only begotten son here, is so that we could, you know, spend a little bit more than we should, giving people we don't really see important presents. Yeah.
Yeah, keep the economy going.
That's right. Above all, loving your neighbor and everything, you've got to keep the economy growing at 3% year over year.
Yeah.
Freedom is free, you know. Yeah.
I try and stay away from all of that stuff. I love Christmas. I absolutely love Christmas, but I don't want to, you know, pretty soon it'll be like August and we'll be starting the whole Christmas thing, and it's just it's like when my kids were small and my son said to my mother, "Oh, Grandma, I wish you lived right next door to us. We could see you all the time, and it would be so much fun," and blah, 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 blah. And my daughter said, "Oh, but it wouldn't be special anymore when they came to see you." And it's true. It's true, you know. I mean, well, now she is living with us, so it's all come full circle. But the thing is that I think that's the whole thing with the Christmas thing too. If you're hearing about it all year, it's like, you know, just another day. So I don't know. That's just, you know, me.
It is interesting, you know, how much it's been commercialized and how much it becomes part of, you know, our Western culture here. And, you know, I wonder, there's so many moving parts to the whole thing, you know, and I wonder if we're all, you know, coalescing. I shouldn't say we all, because that's kind of an ignorant statement, but I mean, there may be a counter push in the West to start rallying around some of the things that they believe represent their values in the wake of, you know, encroachment when it comes to some forms of you know, I put in air quotes, religious terrorism, because I know it's not truly, you know, the backbone of any of the religions is violence and, you know, these things. I mean, these things are much more something else than they are religion, but I wonder, you know, there's that aspect to it. There's the commercial aspect to it. There's corporations who own radio stations and other businesses. And if we can get people thinking about Christmas time and spending money, that's a benefit for them. And so they play Christmas music as a way, you know, and these are all just easy studies by corporations, you know, when depending on the tempo of the music they play in their stores, you know, if there's a place to get people to spend more money inside the doors, it's been explored in our corporate culture. And it is funny how it adopts things that we culturally hold sacred and dear, and then begins to use them for their own purposes, and sometimes to the detriment of the thing that we hold so dear.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that. I was just thinking about how many ads I see out there for holistic practitioners and people like you and I that do this work, and just offering marketing techniques and how to get people to sign up, and it's not my style, let me put it that way, but it is just a part of that whole money-centric lifestyle that we seem to have adopted, especially in North America. I don't know so much about, there's a lot of countries where, it's the last thing, but, I'm talking about what I know, and I think North America is very centered around money and things and having, getting things and status, and I don't know. It's interesting how it does sort of start spreading out into just about every aspect of your life if you let it. I try and stay away from stuff like that isn't in alignment with who I am now. And believe me, there was a time when I was totally in alignment with that. But I just find myself, I don't know, maybe as I get older, I don't know what it is, but I just find myself finding money and all those things less and less important. And I've been thinking, well, I should think about doing my Christmas shopping, but I just, I'm just thinking, I'd like to do something different. I'd like to do something that has more meaning. And I guess it's that whole moving into deeper meaning in your life. And you want things to have more meaning, and you don't want a gift certificate, and you don't want to, I like nice clothes like the rest, like everybody else, but, and I don't even know if I'm explaining myself very well, but I just feel there are things that would have deeper meaning for me besides going out to the malls and shopping my brains out for Christmas. And I've really sort of pared things down a lot in the last few years anyway. The kids are older, and it's just, for me, it's a simplicity that I'm looking for. And I think that goes across my whole life, not just Christmas, but I think my whole life is becoming simpler and more peaceful and more less hustle bustle and more silent night, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you bring up an interesting word there, you start looking for more meaning. Because sometimes, much to our preamble here, we seem to, this is an aspect of society and culture that I'm really, really interested in. And it's something that really is at the core of perhaps how I got here in a way, was because I saw so many things in culture and society that I just couldn't square away. And it seemed to me that everybody seemed to be preaching things for the wrong reasons and losing the point of things. Like Christmas, and you can move on to other things that our culture cherishes, and other institutions that are kind of make believe, but we all just kind of collectively believe in them. I mean, we just came off a show a couple weeks ago about Remembrance Day, and maybe examining truly what that day might mean, or what that day might mean to you, or what it might newly mean in the wake of just a never-ending stream of violence on a global scale. How can we, stop the cycle, and these kind of questions really get at me, and are really something that I really, really like thinking about. And the benefit of having done this show now for, I don't know, what's about 4 years, is that I know that we've shared too that, you know, for myself, I had decided a number of years ago I wasn't comfortable with the whole idea of gift giving at Christmas. And this can come into, you know, the type of person you are and also, you know, the love languages that, you know, mean the most to you. But for me, you know, over the past few years, I've just completely abstained from gift giving. I was asked earlier this week, actually, in jest for the first time if I'd started my Christmas shopping, and, you know, just politely and calmly saying, you know, I actually don't do any Christmas shopping, because for me, you know, it's maybe my way of lovingly making a point whenever the opportunity presents itself to say that, you know, I'm looking for something a little bit more than, like you say, giving a gift card. You know, it's almost laughable to go spend $50 on a gift card on December 23rd because I really haven't been inspired to get anything, and then drop, you know, after tax disposable income on something that I really had no inspiration to buy in the first place. It really seems rather silly, and who is that really benefiting, and what energy is that really bringing to the whole interaction? You know, there is an energy of like, you know, I'm supposed to, and I'm sure I'll get something in return, but I don't really want to do this, you know? And it's a tremendous lesson in personal power when you can, you know, lovingly say no and be able to say, you know, I'm not going to participate because I just don't want to, and I don't have to. And if the point is, you know, when I say earlier about losing the point is to show my love. You know, I can find very individual and specific ways in each relationship to show love in a way that may be different than the culturally accepted way of doing it. And the culturally accepted way of doing it, you know, back when, you know, the whole spirit of Christmas wasn't to go to the mall and go get a whole bunch of stuff for people and your family and friends. You know, the point of Christmas was something very different than that, but it's been taken away from us. Without us really even realizing it. And in some ways, we defend it so vehemently because we haven't even realized that it's been so usurped from what it was meant to be in the first place. And we say, my goodness, how dare you not put Christmas logos on a Starbucks cup, you know? It's just silly. It's just, to me, and I really like the opportunity to just lovingly not participate in some of the ways that don't make sense to me as we're prescribed to live in this culture as it stands right now.
And you know what? I think it's great because I think everybody should do what feels right to them. And the thing is, and this goes for everyday life as well as Christmas and Easter and holidays and Mother's Day and whatever, is what you're doing supporting peace or supporting stress and suffering? And if what you're doing at Christmas time is causing you to feel stressed and unhappy and pushed and obligated and so on and so on and so on, then is it what you should be doing? And maybe it's time to take a look at it and say, you know what, this is taking away from the whole idea of this holiday for me. I want to feel peace, and this isn't bringing me peace. If that is bringing you peace, if it brings you peace to buy gifts for people, and you know, and you have the money to do it, and it's something that you love doing, then by all means, that's the choice you make. I think the point that we're trying to get to is that sometimes we do things because it's what we're supposed to do, and it's what the ads on TV and the radio and, you know, everywhere else tells us we should do, and not necessarily what deep down we feel good about doing. And I think that goes for anything in life. Just because, you know, the ad on TV says happiness comes in a bottle of Coke, if it don't make you happy, don't do it.
Yeah, I mean, and those commercials are just laced with Christmas and holiday imagery, and like to the extreme, those Coke ads with everybody out in the town square and the train coming in and all the kids getting presents and Santa Claus and flying in the sky and all that. It's just, and polar bears and snow and the bells and the music, like, it's just, you know, it's so important for us to realize how the whole thing is being co-opted so that we will then choose, I mean, think about what they're wanting us to do there. You know, they're wanting us at Christmas dinner to have 2-liter bottles of Coke on the table rather than its competitors. That's the point of the commercial, and we just lose sight of it. And we're all like, aw, polar bears, you know, aw, Santa Claus. When I was a kid, I really liked getting stuff. And the whole point of it is to get you to drink their version of cola compared to their competitors. And it's important to keep, you know, that sterilized objective view of why we're being pulled in certain directions, not just with Christmas, but with everything in life.
Yeah, they're definitely selling a feeling. It's not a product they're selling, it's a feeling, and that's because that's what we grab onto. Everything we do is so that we will feel a certain way, whether it's, you know, because we're hooked on suffering or whether we really want to feel good, we want to feel peace, we want to feel, you know, and we see these lovely commercials that tell us, that show us the feeling, and then they connect their product to it. They're selling a feeling. But where is that feeling really coming from? And I think that's the important thing to understand.
Yeah, it's so funny when you bring in other lessons into this discussion where it's like, yeah, absolutely. I'm the one. I mean, where's the feeling come from? It comes from nowhere but me. I have the feeling. I know what feeling of happiness is. And so if I put it out onto Coke, and then Coke reflects it back to me, and I'm like, hey, Coke makes me happy. I associate happiness with Coca-Cola, of all things. It's silly. And anybody who has any knowledge in dietary education would say, my goodness, if there's anything that you should stay away from in life, it's a carbonated, caramelized beverage that contains something like 40 grams of simple sugars in liquid form that won't sate your hunger, and in fact will not only not sate your hunger, but will lead to larger problems. And of course, having a glass of Coke, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, there's tons of wonderful pleasures in life, but my goodness, what are we being sold, really? And I don't want to just demonize a corporation or Coca-Cola for that matter, or anybody, because honestly, I do it too. You know, I work at a restaurant, and we're all about, hey, let's get Christmas parties in here. You know, let's look at a way to get doctor's offices to have their thank you Christmas staff lunch or dinner at our establishment. Or when you're plugged into the holistic industry, and people are like, hey, you know, for Christmas, get your loved ones two crystal treatments or a Reiki session or a massage or an hour of time with my healing modality.
Or a meditation CD.
Sure. You know, and honestly, you know, which is a great idea. And you know, we're all a part of this, and we don't even realize. You know, we just do it as a natural thing. We're like, hey, Christmas is coming up in 5-6 weeks. This is a time where there is more money in the pot, and how can we get our share of separating people from their money at this time of year? Because that's what Christmas is. You know, that is why, you know, Jesus was born, and really what Jesus preached. Even so, in so much as you, most of our society, even if they associate with being religious, they're secularly religious, and honestly don't take 90% of the stuff that was said inside their religion and incorporate it into their daily lives, either because it's silly and ignorant and behind the times and behind science, or, you know, it's just not important to them. And it's just we've been coerced without our knowledge by being dangled happiness and polar bears and Coca-Cola and trains and pretty music and bells and movies. We've been taken from what is our true essence, and we are obligated to a million proxies, and we're all complicit to varying degrees in this entire thing that's been created out of nothing. Because really, the sun will come up and the sun will go down, and it won't, and it'll just be like every other day, and there won't be anything different save for the meaning that's been pulled out of us and the meaning that we willingly give to how we've been told to celebrate this one in particular day in a lifetime of 30,000.
We're doomed, I tell you, we're doomed.
It's just important to take a step back and realize that we don't need to spend 75 when what we can afford is 40, you know.
Well, and I think that's a big part of it, is that you know, so often we'll put ourselves into a state of suffering in order to make someone else feel good. And in the end, does it really work? Something to think about. Yeah, you know, I mean, like, I know it's, you know, people who are listening are probably thinking, what is wrong with those two today? But the thing is, and it's not about being against Christmas. It's about doing what's not being sold at, not selling out, not following the crowd because it's the thing to do, but really going inside and finding out what is the right thing for you to do, for you. Because that, in the end, that's all we're ever trying to do, is to feel good ourselves. And so we buy gifts and we do whatever it is that we do. It's not about the buying of gifts. It's about the putting the whole idea of how we feel out into the world instead of turning inward and finding what we're looking for within ourselves. I mean, that's all we ever talk about on this show. I hate to disappoint everybody and think it's something different every week, but it's just a different way of saying the same thing. And that's the point we're trying to get to today. It may not sound like it, but I'm sure Eric will agree that that's really the point that we're getting at, is that just really consider all your choices. And do the one that serves you best.
Yeah. Yeah, being able to pull yourself out and just take a look at the events and the circumstances and how we feel about things and where we might be being compelled to do things that aren't in our own best interest. And Christmas is just, you know, not against Christmas. It's a beautiful time. There's a lot of beautiful things about Christmas, you know. There's a lot of great things about Christmas and culturally because, for the most part, most all businesses close down for a day or two, and we all get time off work, and we all get to have extra, you know, disposable days to spend with the people, you know, in our lives who we acknowledge are important to us, and all that is really, really beautiful. Much to your kid's point, and I love when we do these shows and it comes back full circle to your kids talking about grandma and how understanding where things are built up in our lives, not even through our own doing, let's say like Christmas, but realizing, you know, it's not necessarily what's against Christmas. It's pro the other 364 days of the year, and that there's nothing that's available on Christmas that isn't available to you in every single moment of every single day, regardless of what calendar you're even using. You know, being able to appreciate the ones around you, being able to make time for those who are important to you, to really sit down and really enjoy a glass of Coca-Cola. How often do we grab a Coke and some chips, and then we sit in front of a television, and then the only next time we think about the Coke or the chips is when the bowl or the can is empty, and we're not actually present with the happiness that we could feel from getting, you know, a little bit of a sugar rush and having our taste bud pleasantly tingled. You know, and so it's a pro 364-day vision and idea that everything that we associate with Christmas, kind of just taking back our power and realizing that we're the ones who are creating it and that this is available to us in every moment of every day, much to the point of your kids saying, you know, hey, it'd be great if grandma lived next door, but then it wouldn't be special. And it's this classic human fallacy that we all are susceptible to, especially as children, and as we continue into unawakened adults, when we don't realize some of the tricks that our minds can play on us. And I think that is the real overarching point to what you said.
Yeah, I mean, look at what Christmas represents to us. Peace and love and oneness and giving, the spirit of giving and kindness and, you know, all those things. That's what Christmas represents to us. Well, Christmas can be every day if that's what it means. Christmas can be every day. It doesn't have to be reserved for one day a year. We can offer that peace. We can find that peace in ourselves. We can find that love, that beautiful connection with people, that kindness, that generosity, that compassion. We can find all those things for ourselves, and we can offer it to other people every single day, every single day. No question. So yeah, Christmas can be every day. We just don't have to sing the songs all year.
Yeah. Yeah. All songs become Christmas songs then.
That's right. Every song's a Christmas song. Don't get me wrong, I love my Christmas songs, but...
Well, no surprise, you used up our time so quickly today, and we're down to our last couple minutes, and it would be fantastic if you could lead us in a meditation and send yourself off into a blissful carol singing adventure tonight.
That would be really great. So let's close our eyes and deep, deep breath right into our belly. And as we breathe, allow that energy of peace and love and kindness to fill you from the top of your head to the tips of your toes. Allow yourself to breathe in the peace and the love and the oneness of this world in every fiber of your being. And as you breathe and relax into this special loving space, listen as I read this prayer. Let peace begin with me. Let me see love in myself and share that love with everyone I meet. Let me have compassion. Let me share kindness with everyone, including those who are unkind, because they need it most. Let me make the space around me safe for myself and others to open up and share their vulnerability. Let this spark of love in me help to ignite the light of love throughout the world. Let peace begin with me. Carry this peace within you wherever you go, no matter what day of the year it is, and offer it to everyone you meet. And then when you're ready, wiggle your fingers and your toes, and bring yourself back to the world.
Yeah, I love that, Bettina. That was really powerful. Peace begins with me. What a great sentiment to take off into our day. Peace, let peace begin with me.
Yeah, I try to see that every day. Try to do that every day, especially when things in the world remind us how important it is.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. And the pleasure to do the show. And we'll see you all again next week.
Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today on The Soul Connection. Eric Cerrone is a spiritual thinker, listener, and coach. To find out more about Eric, you can go to intelligentoasis.com. Bettina Goodwin is the creator of The Wise Man's Way. The Wise Man's Way, heart-centered living for the modern urban man. For information on products and services, including workshops, group meetings, and one-on-one counseling, please go to thewisemansway.ca. And for more information on living an authentic life, to learn more about Bettina's offerings as a spiritual counselor and Reiki master, please visit thesoulconnection.ca. Thank you for tuning in to The Soul Connection.